The South Dakota Symphony Orchestra performs this weekend in the Washington Pavilion in Sioux Falls. They open the classical music series with Rachmaninoff's Symphonic Dances and Symphony No. 1 by John Corigliano. Maestro Delta David Geyer stopped by yesterday for a preview. Delta David Geyer joining us in the SDPB Sioux Falls studios. Welcome back.
Thank you.
All right, now it's time to kick off the classical music series for the South Dakota Symphony Orchestra. Pretty exciting night for season ticket holders and people who are trying to figure out what should they do with their Saturday night.
Well,
they're in for a
suggestion for you.
I've got a few ideas.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're going to start off with Rachmaninoff. It's the, you know, his Symphonic Dances is the last piece that he wrote. So it's a wonderful piece, great, great music, the peak of his career, just, you know, the peak of his powers. Composers only get better with age, generally, you know. It's not like a physicist who, like, does all their best work in their 20s or
right.
something, you know.
Always chasing it after that, yeah.
Composers don't do that. But, yeah, the Rachmaninoff is just fabulous, and I have yet to meet people that don't like Rachmaninoff, you know, even if they don't want to admit it. He went through a period where, you know, several decades after his death, where he was not as respected, kind of like Puccini. It's like, this is too accessible, so it must not be that good.
Okay. You know, many people like it, therefore I don't like it anymore.
Right, yeah. I'm not working hard enough here, you know, right. So it must not be really sophisticated music, but it's not true for either of those composers. We've done all the symphonies since I came to the SDSO, and now this Symphonic Dances is sort of rounding out a big Rachmaninoff, you know, set for us.
What's the context of when it was written?
1945, oh. I think, you know. Yeah, so that's part of the problem. He was considered anachronistic because he was still writing what seemed like romantic music after the romantic era was over.
Okay.
And there are plenty of composers that do that, but not very many of them that do it well. You know.
So what else is happening musically at that time?
Well, you've got a lot of atonal music that's going on, a lot of modernisms, things. But you also have Shostakovich and Stravinsky and Bartok. And, you know, these are the giants of the 20th century. And Rachmaninoff was never put into that category with them because he was still composing like he was in the late 19th century.
Interesting.
Right. It's a little too close to Tchaikovsky. Which is why people love it, because that's just gorgeous music. You
right.
know?
And why? What was he saying? Because we must know a lot about what he thought about what he composed and why he was doing what, you know, more so than we might know about.
Well, he's underrated as a composer. Just, I mean he was a concert pianist himself. So his piano concertos that people also know and love very well, Rhapsody on a Theme of Paganini. So he inhabited this romantic pianistic world, and then he also composed. But the level of sophistication of his compositions are not often appreciated, especially by other composers and the people mm-hmm. who were the gatekeepers of, you know, high culture during the mid 20th century. And so he kind of got left out along with Puccini, and both of them, I would say. You know, the adage less is more, you know, they'll come up with these fantastic big tunes and it's just like, you just want to stay there, but they won't let you, like they just give you enough, you know, like, and you have to come back for more, but they, both Puccini and Rachmaninoff do that. They don't just go on and on and on with the great tune. Like they'll give you just enough of it. And then move on and do some very interesting, sophisticated development of those musical ideas. And I keep using the word sophisticated because I respect Rachmaninoff a lot. I mean, if you look at the structure of his symphonies, for instance, I mean, it's fully inventive, coming out of a great symphonic tradition, but inventive on his own terms. Mm. And beautiful at the same time and powerful and all of that. So he's got it all in my book.
There's another composer on the program, and this is a person who is another, we use the word giant, getting better with age. Mm. And he's going to be in South Dakota.
That's right. John Corigliano.
Tell me about him.
Well, John, I've known him, not really well, but we've known each other for a long time. He's 81 years old. I would call him the senior member of the composers of the American composers, like the father at this point, of living American composers.
Pulitzer Prize winner.
Yes.
Multiple Grammys.
Yes.
Oscars.
Yes.
And a whole bunch of awards that I don't even know about, but you do.
Right. Yeah. No, he's, I don't know of another composer that is as decorated as John is, and, teaches at the Juilliard School and, he's one of the few composers that's really has more of an international reputation, that the major orchestras in Europe will play his music as well, mm-hmm. whereas they'll shy away from Copland and Bernstein because it's kind of too popular. Mm-hmm. But John's music is it's very powerful, particularly this symphony, which was written in response to the AIDS crisis, and it was written in the late 80s. Symphony number 1, it's subtitled of Rage and Remembrance. And both of those things are palpable in this work. He brings his own expression to living in New York City in the midst of this crisis when nobody understood what the crisis was and where it came from and how it was going to be managed. I mean, in the mid 80s, nobody, it was a big puzzle, right? It seemed like a plague that was striking, particularly the gay community. And John had literally dozens of friends dying around him. And
where is he at in his career at this time? Because as there is a puzzlement and an ignorance, there is also a persecution, mm-hmm. and a shaming and mm-hmm. a cultural conversation. Where is he at in his career as he's writing this in response to the friends that mm-hmm. he has lost, really at a time before those individuals were being acknowledged as human beings?
That's true. So he would have been, approaching 50 at that time, already won, an Oscar. He won an Oscar in the 70s. I mean, he was becoming well known as a composer. And this composition was a major event. It was premiered by the Chicago Symphony. But I was actually at the rehearsals and performances in New York when it came, I believe it was 1990, when it came to New York City. And I can say that we were not ready for this piece, musically, but also, as you're saying, there was persecution. There was a lot of ignorance around the AIDS crisis and around the gay community and they did it, in fact, endure a lot of persecution. Even among the activists in New York, nobody was ready for this. Mm. Nobody understood it. I think we're much more ready for this piece now. And we're having a lot of really interesting activities around this piece of music in Sioux Falls. It was another reason I'm really glad that John is coming. So, for instance, at Roosevelt High School, I've been speaking the last couple of weeks to a group of about 200 students about this piece of music. And John will visit Roosevelt High School on Friday. And the point that I'm trying to make with them is how does a composer engender empathy in others? Like, how do you enter into somebody else's world, into their suffering, into their triumphs, and thereby have at least some of that experience yourself and come into contact with people that you have no understanding of or relationship with and still come out on the other side with compassion. Mm. I did this piece a year ago in Thailand, and all of us, orchestra audience alike, experienced this work as a work of deep compassion. Mm. You know, it's loud, it's raucous, it's rage. It's absolute rage. And searing is the adjective that I use to describe the opening of this piece. And you can just imagine just the pointlessness of losing all of these human beings. But it comes to a place, I would say, not of resolution, but rather of acceptance and peace. And love, actually, for his friends who have died. And some of them are actually memorialized in the score by name with different melodies and things attached to them.
So when you see that, are you communicating that with the orchestra? Do you get that personal? Because I could almost not even handle that emotionally when you say that you hit a melody and that is a person.
Yeah, right.
That is a person who's no longer with us, who had a life. And who might not be remembered in the world, except with a very small circle of friends and loved ones.
Yeah.
Were it not for the courage of this piece.
That's right. That's very well put. Yeah. So in the first movement, you come off of this very searing opening, with a driving heartbeat and so on, and then it sort of comes to a place where it's very placid. You have the violins very, very high in first and second violins in dialogue. And off stage, you hear a tango by the Spanish composer Albéniz. And it's the favorite piece of a good friend of his who used to play it all the time, an amateur pianist. Hmm. So that's the remembrance, right? I mean, it's very poignant. The second movement is a tarantella, which is an Italian folk dance, but it's intended to depict the dementia, of the HIV dementia that in the late stages, in this friend of his that he experienced, his friend losing contact of things, and it's, if you know that, it's absolutely astonishing, this music and how he brings you into it. So I'm really thrilled that people, including these high school students, are going to be able to ask John questions about this piece.
Yeah.
And then we'll have him there on stage with us. And there's pre-concert talk at 6:30 with John, but also there are other opportunities. He'll be speaking at Augustana University on Friday afternoon. I believe it's at 2:00. There's also a region-wide composer event at 5:00 on Saturday. So plenty of opportunities to have actual contact with this, lauded composer of our time.